Once again, welcome to everyone, and once again, I am honored to be able to stand before you and share with you another portion of God's Word in this gospel meeting this week. The theme, as was selected by Drew, and I've stuck to the theme, but obviously my lessons are different. And like I said, hopefully Drew's lessons next year, he'll get the opportunity to present these lessons again in the future. And I look forward to being with him when he comes and does that, if circumstances mention it. But I've tried to present some lessons from a more foundational level that explain to us why we need commitment in our lives as Christians. So we've talked about establishing authority. That's the foundation of commitment. Last night we talked about sincerity. And I'll tell you right now, if you are committed, and as we pointed out last night, you're going to strive to not only be sincere, but you're going to strive to be sincerely right. That was the point. In my lesson this evening, this is actually part of a theme that I engaged in a number of years ago in Bellflower. I think I've already mentioned this because virtually all of these lessons are tied to a series and so on that I deal with. In 2019, I presented a series of lessons entitled Lights in a Dark World. Matter of fact, this is the presentation slide for every one of those lessons. Probably about 40 lessons during the year talking about example. And I ran out of time. I ran out of time. There was more that could be said when you talk about the idea of being an example in every area of your life. And friends, if you're committed to God, this is how this ties in. If you're committed to God, you're going to let your light shine everywhere. You're going to let your light shine in the workplace. You're going to let your light shine. In your home. You're going to let your light shine when you're at school, when you're associating with your friends, when you assemble with your brethren. You're always going to let your light shine. That's what it means to be committed to God. But this particular lesson, I have a focus that I want to deal with in this lesson, and that is being an example online. And I think this is something that we need to give consideration to today. Obviously, 20 or 30 years ago, this lesson probably would not have been presented, or it would have been extremely new at this particular time. So this is something that is in the relatively recently become a part of who we are as a society and as the world. So we need to guard ourselves and ensure that we are a proper example online. But I'm going to dig even more narrow than that in my study for the most part this evening. And I want to talk about social media. I want to talk about the Christian and social media, which is only one aspect of being an example online. As a matter of fact, if you were to go to our website, I actually preached three lessons dealing with our online activity. Two of them on social media, and then a third one on looking at the online behavior in general. But our focus is going to be toward this idea of social media. And of course, we live in the electronic age. And much of our communication today is done without physical interaction. It is done online. But you know, you compare that. You know, I made the point just a few moments ago about how this is a fairly recent thing. You know, to a younger generation, online activity has been a part of who you are. It's been a part of your life as long as you've been alive. But for those of us who are a little older, we remember the days prior to the internet. We remember dial-up phones that were attached to the wall. We were just talking a little bit about that before. And they were attached to the wall when we would walk around. We remember when our televisions only had three or four channels on them. And sometimes you had to go outside and adjust the antenna to make sure that you could get the signal for one of those channels. We got our news by reading newspapers and magazines. When we took pictures, we would have to be careful what we took pictures of because we would have to take them to the photo mat or the photo mart and or someplace like that and have them developed before we even knew what we got. And that's just a few examples of what I'm talking about when I look at times past. And I realize, and as I look at this audience, I'm dating myself. There are some of you who are laughing. Say, oh, you're a youngin. Because I'm sure some of you can relate to well before those things. But the truth is we are living in the electronic age. And I want you to understand that, as the saying goes, it is what it is. We live in this age, and we need to be aware of this age. Social media is a part of our lives. And as I was putting this lesson together, and you'll notice here, these are statistics from 2001. I presented my series in 2019, but I have used this. As a matter of fact, I did a series of gospel meetings in Mesa earlier this year on shining as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. So I did a gospel meeting on that particular theme, and this is actually a lesson from that. And so I want to share with you some more recent statistics that I want you to give consideration to when we think about social media. And this is based upon an article, and the website is backlinko.com. And as I understand, they compiled together statistics from a number of different sources dealing with social media in this particular instance. And here's some of the observations that were released. 56.8% of the world's population uses social media. And if you narrow that down to the eligible audience, and I want you to realize there's parts of the world that still don't have computers. And the majority don't have them. But if you narrow it down to the part of the eligible audience, 93% use social media. That means that in this audience, at least 9 out of 10 use social media in one form or another. In the United States, there are more than 230 million users. And that's almost 3/4. 72.3% is the number that was released where that is concerned. The average time spent on social media, and we're not just talking internet, we're talking social media. The average time spent on social media sites was about 2 hours and 24 minutes a day. And in the United States, about 2 hours and 7 minutes a day spent on social media. When this data was released, Facebook was the number one social media site in the world with 2.9 billion global users. YouTube second with 2.3 billion users. That's a lot of people, folks. Social media is here, and that's the point. And I want you to think about this. You know, we got to talk about COVID. COVID-19. You know, in the last 2 years, with COVID-19, the internet and social media, the numbers have substantially increased. And some of those things out of necessity. Whether you were dealing with the workplace, whether you were dealing with organizations, or even churches that had to adapt. You know, I'm staring into a camera right now. Did you all have that before COVID? I know they were available. But isn't it a wonderful technology that we have available now that we can broadcast it? And there are people listening and watching this lesson at times all over the world, and maybe even not now. Maybe they'll watch it a little bit later. That's a great thing. That's a blessing for us to give consideration to as we have learned these things. So whether we like it or not, social media and the internet are here to stay, especially for the foreseeable future. And because of that, as Christians, we need to take a look at social media. And we need to take a look at the internet and online activity. So I'll take care of social media tonight, and Mickey, you can take care of the rest of it. I'll put the ball in his court on that. But we'll deal with social media a little bit tonight and talk about some things associated with online activity because they're related. But the bottom line is, I want you to realize this. When you talk about social media, this is still communication. And what that means is you are interacting with others. And therefore, when you are online, don't you ever forget that you are still letting your light shine. What kind of a light are you shining as a Christian? In Colossians chapter 4 and in verse number 6, Paul there said, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt." And I might add to that, let your texts, let your posts, let your blogs be seasoned with salt, knowing how to answer each one. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, Peter there tells us, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." You have your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. And in that particular text, Gentiles is a reference to unbelievers. That's the point he is making. You are an example in a world that is unbelieving in many ways. And I promise you, if you are online, and if you are engaged in social media activities, people are watching. And you need... we need to be aware of that, and we need to remind ourselves of that. In Philippians chapter 1, and in verse number 27, Paul there told Timothy, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel. And so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." You let your conduct be worthy of the gospel. And it is my intent for us to understand tonight that that includes when you are online. That includes when you are interacting with others in social media. So we need to think about that. Now, I need to begin by saying this. And, of course, you know what we mean by social media, right? You know, it's those platforms where you are actually interacting with others. And we've given examples. Facebook. YouTube is, even though it's videos, it's social media because there's a lot of interaction. And every YouTube video that I look at has a comment section below it. So there's interaction that's taking place. But now we need to understand this about social media. Social media is morally neutral. And what I mean by that is it's not right and it's not wrong within itself. It's just like money. You know, you ever preach on, I mentioned 1 Timothy chapter 6, I think it was last night, "The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil." And one of the points to be made there, that text does not say that money is evil. It talks about your attitude toward money. Money is morally neutral. It's what you do with it. The same thing is true with the internet. The same thing is true with those that you interact with on the internet. And it's not sinful to be on social media, and I contend that you can accomplish a great deal of good on social media. But as with so many things, it is how you use it. And that's what we need to give consideration to. And I want to begin before I give some warnings associated with our online activity. I want to remind you of some good things that can be accomplished with social media. We're actually going to conclude with some more observations from a good standpoint. But I want to begin by, you look at this pandemic that we've been dealing with. Social media and the internet, it has been a tremendous help. And I'll use the word, it's been a blessing. Don't you all agree with that? That it's been a blessing in many ways. We've been able to connect with one another and encourage each other. And we've learned, it's kind of like we were forced. We were forced to learn some new ways to interact with each other, and it's been a good thing. It's given us opportunity. I know you all are doing it. I know that we are. We now have a YouTube channel. We didn't have one before. We had a Facebook page, but we didn't have a YouTube channel, and I wasn't posting videos on our Facebook page. Now I am. And they're there. They're there for however long we want them to be there. That's a good thing. That is a blessing. So many churches, they've increased their online presence because of COVID-19. So you want to talk about something good coming out of COVID-19? There's an example that we might give consideration to. That. And you think about this with social media. Opportunities to communicate with others around the world, including friends and acquaintances. I know that me and Mickey on Tuesday mornings, you know, we're engaged in an online Bible study with other gospel preachers from Washington State, from Texas, from the Philippines. Great thing! And there's others that Mickey's talked about. Other studies where he's got people from all over the country and probably parts of the world that are listening in. That's a good thing when we're able to interact with one another. And that includes our friends and our acquaintances. Opportunities to disseminate good information rapidly is made available because of social media. Social media can be used to encourage, and social media can be used, and you hear me on this, it can be used to make a positive impact on society and those that you have an opportunity to influence. You can use it for good. That's my point. And I'll tell you something else. The social media, the internet, it's a great way to learn, both biblically as well as what I would describe as auxiliary subjects. And what I mean is, you know, there's a lot of auxiliary subjects that give you a little better understanding of things associated with the background of the Word of God, definitions of words and those types of things. But you know, you all had J.R. Bronger here for a meeting a few years ago. We had J.R. the week before, and I specifically asked J.R. to preach on the subject of reverence. Because I had heard some lessons that he preached, and his entire weekday gospel meeting was about reverence. And I remember when I listened to the early lessons that he presented, he would talk about your cell phone. And he said, when you're worshiping God, you turn that thing off. You turn that thing off and you put it away. And I'll tell you right now that there's some truth to that even today, but that's not necessarily true today. You realize that for a lot of people today, this is their Bible. There's a Bible on this thing. And they may be, and I hope if you've got your phone on here and you're looking at your phone right now, you're looking at a Bible or something like that. You better not be looking at your Facebook page or something like that. But this is a Bible. And it's incredible. And that's a two-edged sword for a preacher. You know, when a preacher quotes the definition of a word or mentions a Greek word, you know what? You can look it up. You can hold them accountable. So that's not bad. That's a good thing for these things when we use it properly. So that's a little bit to remind us about how social media is a good thing and some good things that can be a result of that. But I will tell you right now, that there are some rules that we need to give consideration to when we talk about online activity. And that's what I'm going to deal with the rest of this lesson, or the majority of the rest of this lesson. I want to talk about some things that you need to think about while you are online and while you are engaged in online activity, social media with others. And the first thing that I want to remind you of, and I've already said this, is you are being an example. And I think you need to remind yourself of that. Every time you go online, people are watching me. And incidentally, so is Jesus. And so is God. He's everywhere and He sees what you're doing. He sees what you're doing when you're online. And the whole thing is you're being an example. When you're online, your circle of friends, and quite honestly, their friends have the opportunity to see what you are saying. And likely it may go beyond that as people are watching you. And friends, they are watching what you say. They are watching how you respond to what other people say. They are watching what you post. They're looking at the pictures that you're putting on there. And they're making judgments based upon what they see. And I want you to understand something. You probably know this, but I'm going to remind you anyways, because I think you need to remember this. You know, who knows what's going to happen with what you post online today in the future? You hear me clearly on this. What you post today, it's permanent. And you may say something. You may say something in anger and regret it and yank it off a minute later. There's a possibility that somebody's already seen it, tagged it, saved it, copied it. And I promise you, they'll use it against you later if they need to. So we need to remember that what you post online is permanent. Something you post is forever. So you need to think about that before you post a picture of where you are or what you're doing, or before you say something to somebody or a bunch of somebodies in particular. So think about that. You are being an example. And something else you need to give consideration, oftentimes what you post reflects who the real you is. You need to think about that. You know, Proverbs 4 and verse 23 tells us, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." And I ask the question, does your online activity, does your online community see that God is important to you? Does your online community even know that you're a Christian? Is it even a part of your interaction with them? Or are you, you know, you talk about shining as lights? What did Jesus say about that in Matthew chapter 5 and about verse number 15? "No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but on a lampstand." Are you hiding your light under a basket when you're online? Do your friends know that you're a Christian? Are you ashamed to tell your online friends that you're a Christian? Friends, you shouldn't be. If God is the priority He ought to be, then that's something to give consideration to. And here's the question. What do they see in the way that you dress? Modesty. Do they see that modesty is important to you? What do they see as your interests? What does your online activity reflect about your language? Do they see you using profanity? Do they see you using off-color jokes? Do they see you sharing off-color jokes? That's examples of what I think you ought to think about. Do they see where you're going? You know, when you start bragging about where you are, should you be there? And think about this. How about when you go there? I'll tell you what I specifically mean about that. When they see you at the beach on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, you ought to be here. They're going to see that timestamp and know what's what. What are they seeing? Social, we need to think about that. Social media, it reflects who you really are. I got something else to say about that here in just a moment, but I want you to give consideration to that. You know, today, and this is just a bonus for those who don't have their permanent jobs yet, and that is the fact that many employers today, they actually look at social media profiles before they hire somebody. And the question is, will they see foolishness in the past? Now, you may not be doing that anymore, but it's a part of your history. That could affect life-changing decisions in your life. And think about that spiritually. Will it affect your ability to try and reach somebody with the gospel? You know, maybe you posted something a while back and you've repented of that. How do they know? There's consequences to our actions. That's the point that we remind ourselves of. But now here gets into some of the things that we really need to think about. With social media, when you're posting things online, what is it doing to your ego? And I think this is a big concern that we need to give consideration to. Solomon said in Proverbs 16 and verse 18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Over in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6, it talks about how God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. God's not impressed with those who are egotistical and those who are arrogant. You know, there are many out there that they use their online activity to promote themselves. And that's really what it's about. And there are many people that as they're online, what they are concerned about more than anything is how many likes they can get. And for some people, it actually becomes who they are. And they become depressed if they don't get enough likes. You got a problem if that's your goal in what you post online. But that's the attitude of many people. And there are things that are out there. You ever hear of clickbait? You know what clickbait is you have some kind of a catchy title that's going to get somebody's attention, and half the time the actual post doesn't have anything to do with the title. It's just designed to get you to click on it so that media can see, oh, this many people looked at this. Friends, that's about ego. Let me tell you something else. And this just irks me to no end. I want you to hear me clearly on this. I don't know what the term is, but I call it guilt messages. You know what a guilt message is? You know, a guilt message is, if you don't share this with everybody that you love, you don't love Jesus, or everybody, you don't love Jesus. You hate God. You don't appreciate the beauty of the world. You hate kittens. You know, and you can just go on and on down the line, and they're guilt messages. Now, I want you to hear me clearly. If you all do this, and you send it to me, you want to know the quickest way to get me to delete a message? You challenge my integrity because I don't want to blast this to everybody that I know. The only reason somebody would put a tagline on that, and friends, I don't care if it's the truth. The only reason you put a tagline that on there is because you're arrogant. You're seeking self-justification. You're seeking self-promotion. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you're guilty of that, you need to repent. We need to think about that. When I'm online, what is this doing to my ego? Does your online persona reflect the real you, or are you putting on a show? And wait a minute, you just said a minute ago that the online activity reflects the real you. And yes, it does. But you know, there are some people that they try to put on a false front while they're online. They don't present who they really are. You know what? You are presenting the real you. And we know what you're presenting? That you're a fraud. That you're a deceiver. That you don't want people to know who the real you is. It's a problem, friends. As a Christian, that is a problem because it is still the real you. And you also need to think about this. If you're posting things, are you bragging about how wonderful you are? You know, if there's something good and you can share it with others, great. I want to encourage you to share it. But are you doing it to boost your ego? Or are you doing it to belittle others? You know, to pat yourself on the back and inflate you and tell yourself how much better you are than somebody else? You need to think about that when I am online. And you may be doing that intentionally, or it may even be unintentional. You may not realize it. But you may be belittling others by what you are saying. I think we need to seriously think about that in our lives as we strive to be examples where others are concerned. I need to consider, am I being humble as I share with others? You know, we point out God resists the proud, but you also read there in 1 Peter that God gives grace to the humble. And you read over there in James chapter 4, verses 6 and 10, where it says, "You humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, He will lift you up. You let God do the lifting up. You make sure that in your activity, including your online activity, that you are being humble. In Colossians chapter 2 and in verse number 18, Paul there said, "Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and the worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." And he talks about also again there in verse 23 about false humility. You pretend to be humble, but you're not. You need to be careful when you are dealing with that. Am I being honest with what I share? Is what I share the absolute and complete and total truth? Or is there something deceptive about it? Are you conveniently leaving out details? Are you conveniently leaving out the important details that would completely change the meaning of what is being shared? We've got to be honest in everything that we do. Over in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse number 25, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." We need to be truthful in everything that we do. In Proverbs 12 and in verse 22, it says there, "Lying lips," or might I say typing fingers that are lying, "are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight." We need to be truthful in what we are doing online. And here's something I need to honestly think about. If you need social media to prop you up, you've got deeper problems than just being online with social media and then who you are externally. That's a serious thing that we need to think about when we are online. So I need to ask myself the question, what is this doing to my ego? But another question I need to ask is, when I'm online, is this a wise use of my time? In Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse number 16, Paul there said in that text, "See that you walk circumspectly." This is verse 15. "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." And the idea of that expression, redeeming the time, it means that you are using it wisely. It means that you realize that time is valuable, and once time is spent, you will not get it back. And if I'm a child of God, I need to use my time in ways that are pleasing to God and realize that He wants me to use my time for Him. Now, I've already made the point that I don't think it's wrong to engage in social media. There can be good associated with it. But how many spend an inordinate amount of time online and with social media to the neglect of other things that they ought to be doing, like studying the Word of God, assembling with their brethren, doing things to build up their brethren, encouraging one another, praying, and the types of things that we as Christians need to be doing with our time and setting aside time to do those things? If you want to grow spiritually, if you want to commit yourself to God, you're going to have to give Him your time. You're going to have to give Him of your time. And it's not just occasional. It needs to become a part of who you are. So is it a wise use of your time? And you know, I ask this question. You know, how many people are there that are actually addicted to online activity? And I think this is something that we need to think about. Is online activity ruling you? You know, one of the things that I've learned recently is that behavioral addictions are actually harder to break than substances. You know, I actually recently heard by a gospel preacher that if you're addicted to pornography, it is easier to break an addiction to cocaine than it is to pornography. Pornography is an online activity. Same thing would be true if you're addicted to social media. You know, you're driven by those likes and you're driven by what people see, and you've got to be on there day in and day out and respond to everything that everybody says, and you get so caught up with it, and you just thrive on it. When you get up in the morning, it's the first thing that you do. It's the last thing you do before you go to bed at night. And you can't break. What would happen if you lost your cell phone and your computer for a week? What would happen to you? You know, that's something to think about. And you know, if you want to know whether you're addicted or not, you know, try going without social media for a week. See what it does to you. It's something we need to think about as Christians. You know, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse number 12, and I'll tell you right now, friends, this applies to social media. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse number 12, Paul there said, all things are lawful to me. And incidentally, he's not saying that sin is lawful. He's talking about things that are. And remember, I've said social media is morally neutral. All things are lawful to me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful to me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I'm not going to let anything in this life addict me. And that's the point. I'm not going to be addicted to anything in this life. Sadly for many, they spend so much time online because it has become an addiction, an addictive activity in their lives. I need to ask myself, is this robbing me of my personal interaction with others? I think this is important. One of the drawbacks of social media is the fact that so many people now, you know, they devote so much time to electronic mediums, and that would include social media, internet, television. You know, we were kind of mentioning that. I was talking with Mickey a little bit and kind of mentioning that. Video games. Online activity with video games, whether they're online or not. You know, but some people they devote so much time to those things that they become recluses in their home. They hide themselves in their room and they spend all their time in front of the computer, and there's no time left outside of their cyber circles. Their cyber circle is their closest group of friends. They don't interact with those who are outside. And friends, while social media, as I've already said, it is communication, I want you to understand it is not the same thing as face-to-face interaction. And it's not as effective. It is not as effective as sitting across the table with an open Bible studying with somebody. And I'm talking about, even if you're studying with somebody online, and I'm not telling you not to do that. I want you to do that. I think that's a great use of social media. But it's not the same thing as sitting across the table with a Bible open. And the only thing, maybe you have a computer there so that you can look up scriptures and stuff. But that's all you're using it for. There's nothing like that if you want to reach somebody. Something is lost when you remove the person-to-person dynamic. And all you have to do is look at the last 2 years. What has COVID-19 done to us from a social standpoint, from our interaction with one another? Even to this day, you know, people are fearful of interacting with others. And it's a part of the society that we're in. And how many of you crave getting back to the way it was from an association standpoint before COVID-19. You know, how many of you, if we were not able to assemble for a few weeks, how many of us missed that so much? And let me ask you, what was your reaction the first time you came back together? What was your reaction? Did it bring tears to your eyes? You were grateful that you were finally able, even though I was here. Even though you had a bunch of blue tape separating people, you know, you're limiting, you know, these two can sit here. But at least you got to see each other. And hello, fist bump.
or as opposed to hugs. How many of you miss or were so grateful just to be able to do that? And look forward to the time where nobody is wearing masks. And by the way, if you're wearing masks, that's fine. Just understand that. Don't anybody dare criticize somebody that feels that way. But the bottom line is, we all look forward to the day where that's not an issue. So friends, we ought to appreciate person-to-person interaction even more now than we did just a few years ago. Is it robbing me of my personal interaction with others? We need to realize as Christians, one of our responsibilities is to reach others. Mark 16 and verse 16, the Great Commission, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned. And again, that's repeated in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. I've talked about that the last couple of nights. Make disciples of all nations. You go out and you interact with them. In 1 Peter 3 and in verse 15, we're told there, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Friends, that's a responsibility we have as Christians. And I'm going to tell you right now, the internet, social media, this is the way I view this. It can introduce the gospel. But rarely does it close the sale. Rarely. And if you want an example of that, go to the book of Acts and look at all the examples of conversion. You know one of the amazing things I find about the book of Acts? You know, you find the work of the Holy Spirit. You find the Holy Spirit falling on Cornelius and his household. They're speaking in tongues. An angel appears to Cornelius. An angel sends Philip to the Ethiopian eunuch. Paul is struck blind on the road to Damascus. And you see all these miraculous things that take place. But I want to tell you what, there is not a single example in the book of Acts of anybody being converted without a man going to them and telling them what they needed to do. In every one of those miraculous instances, an earthquake that shakes open the jail in Philippi, and the jailer falls on his knees. What must I do to be saved? Oh, you're already saved. The Holy Spirit took care of you. Sorry, that's not what it says. Paul preaches to him. And in every one of those examples, and read through the book and you'll see it, there's not a single example where salvation didn't come because of man, from a man telling somebody what they needed to do. That still applies today. And I see that with social media. It's a great tool to introduce the gospel. And if you're on social media, you need to be sharing the gospel and introducing the gospel to others. But your goal is to get them to say, you know, I see you believe in God. Let's talk about it. And let's get together and talk about it and show them what they need to do in God's Word. Cross from a table where you can answer questions. And if you don't feel comfortable with that, I'll promise you there's people here that will go with you. That will help you answer questions. So that needs to be our goal as we're doing this in our lives. We need to realize that. And you know, when I'm online, before I click the send button, I need to ask the question, how is this helping me let my light shine? You know, as I've noted, you know, social media, it's going to reveal the real you. Either good or bad. So what is it revealing? Now let me wrap this lesson up, just take a few more minutes, to go back to talking about using social media for good. We've seen some warnings that we need to give consideration to. But I want you to ask the question, is what I am saying online, is it damaging my influence? You know, it's easy to say things online without the consequences of in-person interaction. And that's one of the problems with social media. It's so easy to just click something in anger that you would never say to their face. And I need to guard against doing things like that. And I'm going to tell you right now that this pandemic, it has brought out the best in people in some ways, online.
But in other instances, it's brought out the worst in people. You know, when this pandemic was first getting started, and I'm on Facebook, and I'm actually on some preacher groups, and you know, members of the Lord's Church, pre-gospel preachers that engage in discussions with one another. And I'm going to tell you right now, I haven't been hurt more than some of the conversations I've seen between the way that those brethren were just attacking each other. This is the way we're doing it. And basically the implication was, if you don't do it the way that we do it, you're wrong. And that's basically the attitude that so many have. You know, this is the right way. Friends, it was a difficult time, and it's still a difficult time. And you know, the Bible says that local congregations are independent and autonomous. And some of my own brethren disappointed me because they didn't want to respect that. People in Florida thought they knew better what we ought to do in California. It's two different states. And so my own brethren greatly disappointed me. I'm going to tell you right now, that's what Paul talked about in Galatians chapter 5. When he said, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed. We need to make sure that we are not consuming one another. The pandemic has brought out the worst in many individuals. But it's also brought out the good, as I have said. Now friends, I expect ugly behavior from the world. It absolutely doesn't surprise me. And I've about reached a point where, I'm going to confess here, I've all but quit watching the news. Because I value my mental health too much. Because all you hear on the news is what's wrong. That's all they know how to say. And I don't care which side of the political spectrum you're on. They don't know how to build people up. Friends, you don't need that. I've quit watching. I've basically quit mock watching. Unfortunately, I know I still find out what's going on. But that's the truth. But I tell you, it's one thing when the world does it, I expect it. But when it's my brethren, that hurts. That hurts. And don't you think that what you post does not have an impact on Jesus? And don't you think for a moment that what you post does not have an impact on His church? We need to take that very, very seriously. The social media provides opportunities to evangelize, promote good works, goodwill. It's a way to reach others in a targeted and more effective way. And this is one of the good things about social media. You want to know how to reach people for a gospel meeting? One of the best ways they say to do that now, it's by paying for Facebook ads. Have a Facebook page and you pay for ads. And the reason is with a Facebook page, and if you know what you're doing, you can target the ads to certain neighborhoods. And you can target it to certain demographics. If you are looking for people who are religious and you're going to be dealing with some topics that appeal to them, you can target them and you're going to pay for a certain number of whatever they call their ads. And it's going to go to those types of people in the neighborhood where you're at. I'm going to tell you right now, that's a whole lot more effective than paying $300 or $400 for a 1-inch ad in the LA Times that's going to line more bird cages than be read. You know, I mean, it's more effective. And so you can use social media to reach the lost for good. And I believe that this can help us fulfill the Great Commission. It's a part of what society is. I want you to think about it. And I know we shouldn't do a lot of opinion. I'm going to tell you my personal opinion, though, here, just for a moment. I believe that if you want people to know where you are at as a church today, you need to have some type of an online presence. Sorry, but whether you like it or not, there needs to be some way that people can find out where you are at. And I'm going to tell you the way they do it now. They go to a search engine. Or they go to, you know, there are brethren who have put out lists of congregation. And they're going to want to see a website so they know when you meet.
and who to contact if they have questions. And you know, I'm not saying you have to have an elaborate website. Now, I appreciate the Fifth Street East website. It's a lot like the Rose Avenue website. When we started our website about 15 years ago or so, you know, I wanted it to be a resource. And I'm not hiding what we teach. I know you all aren't either. If it gets preached, it gets put on the website. I'm not hiding it. We want people to know where we stand. But maybe you don't want to do that. Maybe you can't afford to do that. But you just a page that says, this is where we meet and when, and here's how to get hold of us. You need that. That's how people find you today. And if you're interested in reaching others, you got to provide a way for them to do it. So that's why I believe that it's absolutely necessary that we have some way for people to find out where you're at. And it's going to be social media, because that's where 93% of Americans go. So just think about that. Okay, end of opinion. But I think it's something to think about. So in summary, you know, use social media to let your light shine, and don't be ashamed of His light. Use it to encourage others. Use it to calm fears and encourage trust in God. Use it to be different. And I'll tell you right now, when I preached on Lights in a Dark World as a series, I had a lesson or two on what does different look like. We need to be different, and people need to see that we're different. That includes when you're online. Use it as a tool to reach others. So there's my thoughts on online activity and social media. And so I summarize by simply saying, what does your online activity say about you? Think about that, and I commend the lesson to you. Maybe there's somebody here who is in need in one way or another of responding to the invitation. And if that is the case, I know we always offer an invitation. Maybe there's somebody that needs to obey the gospel here. I don't know everybody's condition. If you have not done so, if you believe in Jesus as the Son of God, why not repent of your sins, confess Him as the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of your sins? That's what Peter said in 1 Peter 3, verse 21, where comparing the salvation of Noah through water, he said there is a like figure, or there's an antitype which now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience. And what Peter was saying there is no, it's not about getting wet. It's about obeying God. That's really the point. God told me to be baptized, and He promised me if I would be baptized that He'd wash my sins away. Therefore, I believe God, so I'm going to be baptized so my sins can be washed away. It's just that simple. It's not a matter of faith versus obedience. It's a matter of obedience because of faith. God tells you to do it. Do it. And if we can help you do what you need to do, we stand ready. Or if you're a child of God and you've wandered away from Him and you need to come back, He tells you to repent of whatever it is you've done, and He will take you back. That's God's amazing grace. Come back tomorrow, and we'll talk about that, or that on Friday. That's His grace. He'll forgive you again if you'll just repent and confess your sin, pray to Him. Maybe there's something that somehow you need the brethren to pray with you or pray for you with whatever it is you're dealing with, making yourself right. So if you're subject to the invitation, why not come forward right now as we stand?